Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. My name is David Langiuli, and I'm here with my colleague, Michelle Malloy-Dillon, today.
Hey, David. How you doing? It's been a while since you and I have done a podcast together.
It has, and we're both in Colorado this week with our guest, who you're going to introduce here shortly, but we're not in the same location.
No, not in the same location, but at least within the same state. And we're here with Teddy Tostanowski, who is a former Coloradan and a former University of Colorado Boulder student. And full disclosure, I was a mentor for Teddy when she was at the University of Colorado Leeds School of Business many years ago. And now she's all grown up and out doing a career. She's a social media manager at UC Davis. And she's also a grad student in organizational leadership. And she's written a great blog for us about her experience being a mentee and her experience currently being a mentor. She's had a lot of experiences with this, has been influenced by it in so many ways. So welcome, Teddy.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm excited. I don't know if I'm all grown up yet, Michelle. I'm working on that one, but
never grow up.
Yeah, we don't want to. You don't want to ever fully grow up. Yeah,
no. But thank you for having me. Mentoring and being a mentee and a mentor has been, as I said in the blog post, life-changing. And I'm just really excited to have this conversation with both of you.
Yeah. Well, you and I touched base recently just to say hello and check in with each other. And, you know, I really recognize that there's a lot of work that David and I do in the higher education space. And there just seems to be a lot of energy right now around mentor programs within the higher education space. It's a way of really getting students to stay in the educational space and have the support that they need from so many ways. So tell us a little bit about your story. You know, where did your journey of being a mentee begin?
Yeah, well, my journey was mostly accidental. I didn't know I was joining a mentee type of environment my first year of college at the University of Puget Sound. Really small class sizes, you know, it was normal for me to always be able to walk into my faculty's offices or the staff and all of that. And I was only there for a year for my first year, which is, you know, very, you know, it's a pivotal year when you are an undergraduate student. And I was only there for a year and had to move on to CU Boulder for personal financial reasons. And CU Boulder is huge. You know, I was always used to small class sizes, always knowing my classmates, always, you know, it's just the environment I grew up in even before college. So when I stepped onto the Boulder campus, I didn't really know where to start. And the first year that I was there, you know, I was, you know, admitted into Leeds, and I knew that the mentoring program existed, but that was before the time of the first year program and the second year program. Like, that was back in Leeds's early days
of their mentor program. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I emailed, they're like, gonna have to wait a year, you know, before you join this program. And I did, you know, I figured it out on my own, but knew that I still really needed that smaller, you know, community and someone that I could look to and ask all my millions of questions. And that's when they paired me with you as a junior as part of the professional mentoring program. So that's, you know, junior year of college is when I started to meet with Michelle. I don't know, it was like every other week or something at the little coffee shop there by your house.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. And you're pointing to something I think is so important about mentor programs is it can break a larger institution or a larger department down into a bit of a more manageable something. Because it can be really overwhelming. Yeah. There's so many times when, you know, I look back on my world and the mentors that were so influential for me. There were a couple of times early in my photography career, I had a teacher who was phenomenal. And I was not knowing what I wanted to do in the world and with my life. And to walk into a classroom and find a teacher that has become a lifelong mentor was really influential. And, you know, this guy was teaching more than just a photojournalism class. His name is John H. White. He teaches at Columbia College in Chicago. And he's a Pulitzer Prize winning photojournalist. And he taught us really about how to live our life. And he would recite his words to live by at the beginning of every class. And I still have them hanging on my office wall here because they are words to live by. The first word to live by is have the right attitude in everything you do. The second is have discipline. So it went on and it to the point where the whole class would recite these things together. And it still influences me today. Yeah. So mentorship is powerful. How about you, David? Who are some mentors in your life?
Yeah, I am like the worst person to ask about being mentored because, as you know, I have an independent streak in me and somewhat have a huge issue with authority figures. Anyway, but when we get to the point of this conversation around mentoring, I have been a mentor for many, a professional during the course of my career. And I think since our audience, you know, consists of more later stage career, you know, sort of mid to later stage, even though we also have some early career folks in the audience who might be thinking about mentoring, I might have something to chime in. Now, that said, you know, there were some role models that were in my life, first of which was my father. And I wouldn't call him a mentor, but, you know, so we might even frame the conversation about mentors and mentees in this way, role models also. I had some teachers, coaches, athletic coaches. These were all kind of, you know, teachers, coaches, role models that I had great experiences with over time.
Well, yeah, I love you're bringing up, David, because there is something like there's an official mentorship program, which is how Teddy and I got introduced to each other. And then there's like a lot of other types of mentors in one's life that are sort of unofficial. And you mentioned some of those in your article too, Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, David, I love that you brought this up because, you know, a lot of people just automatically go, I've never had a mentor. Like, that's not my thing, whatever the reason is. But, you know, if you just think about people in your life and what they've done, you've never even had to have a conversation with them. If you've just noticed how they've gone about things, all of those people and role models are, you know, it's part of that whole mentoring journey, you know, just for yourself. And I think that that's just as powerful. It's just very purposeful, you know, even retrospectively, if you're looking back on, you know, somebody's life and you know, Michelle, I didn't even know that maybe I did know, but I forgot a long time ago, like how you had your mentor from before and, you know, how that's all, you know, passed along and all of that. So I just, you know, being purposeful and retrospective on those types of noticing what other people are up to and what they're doing with their lives, I think is just as valuable as being paired with somebody that's going to be there, you know, for you after week, conversation after conversation.
Well, yeah, I like what you're saying, both of you. And it's also reminding me that earlier in my career, I worked in a couple of organizations. This was in the private sector where there were more elders around. We call them, like in our coaching world, we call them elders. And it gets to the heart of, and you could walk around like, the office space, or I was in a factory earlier in my career. So there was offices and a factory. And you could just walk around and talk to people. And, you know, there's a lot of wisdom that I think, rubbed off on me from just having these informal conversations. And it does point to something. It's maybe even a subject for another podcast, is this, you know, I do a lot of work on LinkedIn. We were talking about that, Teddy, and there's someone who I interact with that does a lot of work around ageism in the workplace, you know, basically discrimination against older workers, you know, sort of in the 50 and up category. But as we're having this conversation, I realize, whoa, this is where, you know, having some, we used to call them the gray hairs, having some gray hairs around could be really, really helpful in an organization. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about the term elder. It hits me two ways. I'm like, oh, will I ever be old enough to be an elder? I don't want to be that old. And then there's something.
You're committing ageism against yourself, Michelle.
I know. Then there's something so beautiful about the word. Because it is such a powerful thing to be able to pass along to others. And I think you mentioned this, Teddy, in your article, something about making it easier for the next people down the line. Mm-hmm. Like, right. You know, something to pass on so they have something to work with.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. When I was telling my roommates about this, what I was up to, they're like, you're going to be a life coach someday, Teddy, but first you need to have gray hair. And I was like, all right. Thank you. They're like, you're not quite there yet, but to that point, I mean, I think, you know, when you do have people of different experiences, if it's different ages, I mean, I think anybody at any age could be a mentor. I think that there's a lot to learn in both directions. As long as the people, you know, if you are in that, you know, if that leadership position, you are that older person or that younger person, being, you know, you being purposeful with how you're passing down that knowledge to, you know, if you have that capacity and you care enough, you know, to pass along the knowledge, make it easier for others. You know, I mean, I truly believe that, you know, all leadership's built in people first mentality. So, you know, it's not just about like leading your nonprofit or whatever your group is, it's making it easier and, you know, supporting those people from supporting those people, you know, from a maybe not, you know, profiting type of way. So I did not explain that very well.
Well, it brings to mind your idea of a mentor mindset that you mentioned. And it is this idea of an ability to pass along helpful information, but being conscious about it, like what's relevant, what's not, what's helpful, what does this person need? What are they asking for? How to listen? And there's so much in there that I love that you bring up in the article, because you also talk about how you have created a mentor mindset for yourself, and you're actually being a mentor to so many others in your world as well. Again, unofficially. And you're recognizing that gap that's so needed. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, about specifically like how I'm now a mentor. Is that what you're
saying? The mentor mindset. What does it take?
Well, first I'd probably have a conversation with a mentor to see if I'm even in the right place. but it's it was, again, accidental. I never consciously was like, I'm going to be a mentor now. Like it organically happened, again, through the LEADS program at Boulder, asking me to mentor first year, second year students and so on. And I've kind of continued that. I mean, I now work in higher education, so I am surrounded by students that were just like me, you know, 10 years ago. I've recognized very early on too, is I've thought a lot about the impact of mentoring on my life and how it helped me early onset. And I was fortunate with LEADS and everything that CU Boulder offered, but a lot of my students now aren't getting that. And so like, that was the gap. You know, I was the first few students that directly worked with me, like they had no idea how to do things like cover letters or resumes, finding jobs. And so that's where I kind of started to insert just like my knowledge on making sure that they are like able to go out and work after college. And that has just really kind of snowballed into other things. Like I do have, you know, right now I have 10-ish students directly reporting to me. So it's actually a program. It's called Stream, and they're social media interns that create content, but it's also built around career and professional development. You know, they're paid to work on their resumes. They're paid to do informational interviews. I will connect them. I have a student that's interested in the fashion industry, and I have connected her with so many different people just randomly across my life. But building that program for just students that are working, you know, they're social media interns creating content, you know, TikToks, we're still having a lot of fun, but and they may not sometimes realize that there is that the career and professional development thread between each of the things that I'm asking them to do, but is very purposeful on my end. I could keep talking about other things.
Well, I like what something you said earlier I want to pick up on is sort of at the tail end of something you said about like mentors don't get paid, something like this, right? And did you say that? Did I hear you right?
Oh no, I said that even the students they're getting paid even when I'm asking them to work on their resumes or like informational interviews. Like I've built that part of their job here at Davis.
Yeah. No, it was earlier in our conversation, but it goes to the mentor's mindset. Most in all cases that I'm aware of, you know, mentors are not getting paid for mentoring. But so when we say what comes up for me when I talk about the mentor mindset, it's like generosity of spirit is kind of what comes up to me. Well, I know, at least for myself, when whether it was interns, and I've mentored a lot of them over the years, or other professionals that were reporting to me or otherwise in relationship with me, it's a generosity mindset, like because you are giving, you're being of service, and you do it because you want to give and be of service, not because you're getting paid. So that's one thing that comes to mind, at least when I think about my own mentoring of others.
Well, and that brings to mind, you know, they were unofficial mentors in my world as well. Like there was something, so that generosity of spirit was so there. They were so giving with information and stories about their experience and what they learned along the way. I just remember this mentor moment now. This is early in my photography career, a guy I used to assist, Bob Kuzel. And, you know, he was so proud of me for being able to get some photography jobs on my own. He said, "That's fantastic." And he wanted to know all about him. And I was so proud of myself for getting my own clients. And then I happened to tell him what I was charging. And he was like, "You have to understand someday you're going to be raising a family on this income. You're going to be, you know," and it was such a wonderful wake-up call for me. And then he shared all of his pricing with me and why he came up with that pricing and what it was all about and how much his costs were. And, you know, I understood so much about the business of photography through that mentor moment with Bob that it changed everything for me. You know, I still have that message in me now that says, make sure you charge a living wage. You know, you got to live. So as a freelancer, that was an important lesson to learn. Yeah. And generosity of spirit, for sure. That's what mentorship means to me. Yeah. And that's part of that mentor mindset that you were talking about too, Teddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's such a generosity of spirit in how you are passing along what you've learned and what's helpful to you with all the students that you're working with at UC Davis. You know, even though it's not part of that program specifically, you're so aware of that gap of what's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I think my job definitely like caters to being a mentor and all of that. But, you know, there are definitely other spaces, you know, volunteering, facilitating a class on finding your confidence and imposter syndrome, because that's a big issue with students, you know, students that are first generation and all of that. But I think to your point, like it's the moments where I, you know, when anyone ever asks for informational interviews, you know, always saying yes, helping anybody, you know, with resumes. I can't tell you how many times like I have helped friends, family, colleagues. Like it's just those little, they can be really simple too. They don't have to be, you know, continuous, but there's definitely, I think a lot of my like, this generosity of spirit tends to be very career focused more than anything. But there's a lot of spaces that, you know, you can go in. And I think it just the thing about like the generosity, the generosity of spirit is just also the more that you do, it's that practice, which you get better at it and can even help more people quicker, which I think is something that maybe isn't as talked about as much, just, you know, continuing to do it with a bunch of different, you know, people that come across your life. It's not a one-time thing. You won't be good at it the first time. I mean, you might be, but like, it's still, you can be better in the future. And that's just something that I also care a lot about is, you know, being a better mentor to whoever's going to be come across my life next.
Yeah. And when you say be a better mentor, what comes up for me is sometimes being a coach-like mentor can be really helpful. And I know that's what I did a lot with you, Teddy, where I would sort of ask some very open-ended questions and then just see what you said, right? There is an aspect to being a mentor in telling about one's experience in order to help someone else along. And there can be a time where you sort of back off a little bit and ask some questions to find out, well, what is your mentee or this person that you're being a mentor-like role to in this moment wanting to create? Or what, you know, where do they see their life 10 years from now? Or what, you know, what is their dream? And even just having a question like that being asked can be life-changing to people because they may not have always thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the base, you know, the foundational thing of any type of mentoring relationship is that trust and that openness. It doesn't always have to be, you're right, Michelle, about here's all my experience, like learn something from it, you know. But I think that, you know, when you and I were meeting, you were asking some very hard questions about where I wanted to go. And I, you know, we were paired together because of your photography background, right? And I also got a degree in photography, and I couldn't connect the dots in my head of marketing and photography. And you started to ask those big questions of where do I want to go with my career? You know, how do I see myself as a photographer and a marketer? And I think with you, I figured out I did not want to do like freelancing, consulting, you know, that wasn't in the cards for me, but doing marketing within the consumer electronic industry is where, you know, working for Canon and companies like Ricoh, Pentax, like that all started with those big questions that you were asking me. And, you know, yeah. I remember sitting with them and, you know, you also aren't judging, right? Like there's less judgment in mentorship type of relationships, which can be really helpful. It's just making sure things are said out loud on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So true.
This is something, you know, we something Michelle and Margaret and Janice and I, you know, care a lot about in terms of, because there's a trap that mentors can fall into. And the trap is expertise-itis, you know, expertise-itis. And in the story that you were sharing about working with Michelle, you know, I didn't hear that, but there is a time for a mentor to say, well, this is the path for a free, as I lived it, this is my lived path of a freelance photographer. And that can give MNT some perspective on what life in the day of looks like, at least from one perspective, right? And that's not even, you know, experts will say, well, this is the way it is. But even in the path of freelance photography, there are a lot of different paths, and Michelle's was just one. Mm-hmm. And probably a very good one and a successful one. And then you said, well, maybe that's not the path I want to go on. But without those deep, open-ended questions like, what do you really want? And what excites you? And what does it look like in 10 years? You know, and you might not even, what does it look like next year? Right. But this is where we are training mentors, even in the university world now, on how to be more coach-like in their mentoring. Not to say that you can't share personal experience of like, okay, well, you know, if you go down that road, these are some pitfalls you might encounter. It's okay.
Yep, you can do that too.
Yeah, you can do that too. Exactly. Yeah. And it's helpful. It is.
Yeah. Well, Teddy, you have something that you'd like our audience to try today. And what is that thing?
Yeah. So one of the things, and I actually cannot claim this as my own original idea. My mentor here at UC Davis actually sparked this idea with me a couple years ago. But starting a mentorship journal is something that you can start literally today. And it's just a journal where, you know, if you're a mentee, it's starting to observe the people in your life that you think might are making an impact that you want to be like someday. Looking at their decisions and their actions so that you can start to find threads and emulating, you know, if you like what they're doing or not doing. So the mentorship journal is just something, a log of those different interactions. But also if you're a mentor, you know, kind of cataloging, you know, who in your life is doing good things and that you can take and share with others, what from your life you think is really important on your next, you know, mentoring relationship that you're building, and kind of going through that exercise with yourself so that you can also look back on your own growth. I think that is one of the things that I love about my journal is, you know, I'll go back a few years and wonder what in the world I was doing. But it's a really nice reflective journey if you're a mentee or a mentor. Mine is all together because I cross that line so often. That's just, you know, you can start right now and keep track of whatever stage in the mentorship journey you're in.
Yeah, what a great way to really highlight the mentor mindset that one can build too, is that reflecting and looking forward as to what you want to create as a mentor too. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, and you know, we've got a resource here at Fundraising Leadership, which we will share with our audience in the show notes. We have written an ebook called Managing for Retention. And at its heart, mentorship is really about retention, you know, in the higher education space. It's providing that community and those kind of conversations that give people support to really stick it out during the tough times and to know what their resources are. And so this, you know, this ebook is, it gives you a bunch of tips on how to manage retention for a team. And a lot of it applies to mentorship as well. So we'll share that in the show notes.
Yeah. I also want to say something for the nonprofit fundraisers out there. I would say for the fundraising leaders out there in the audience, and you're our people, you know, a lot of us, myself included, came to fundraising in the nonprofit world from some other career path. So this is very common for fundraisers. And while the profession as a whole, and I serve on a board of a professional organization of fundraisers, while the profession has come a long way in providing training resources for fundraisers, it's still people learn from their mentors on how the fundraising game actually gets played. And I remember when I got into fundraising, I was blessed to have an amazing boss, Donna Blakemore, who actually was the AVP at UC Davis many moons ago where you work. She might have been the chief development officer. I can't remember. But I would go into her office and just talk about stuff that I was up to. And, you know, she would say, you're on the right track, you know, just keep going. Now, sometimes it's just a little bit of encouragement, yeah. You know, for, and so very much in the profession of fundraising, which is a subset of the nonprofit world, but a very important one, mentoring is so important now. I mean, in higher ed, there are these large fundraising teams, even at where you're working, where they're starting to realize, yeah, we have to have a more formal mentoring program. Yeah. So if you're in a leadership role and you don't have formal mentoring in your organization, even if you're a small to medium-sized nonprofit, I encourage you to think long and hard about how you might do that. Yeah.
Yeah, we hear so many conversations out there in the higher education space about the importance of mentors. So,
yeah,
it is. It's super important. Yeah. Well, thank you, Teddy. Thank you. This has been a wonderful way to reconnect with you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Michelle and David. It was so nice to meet you today. So,
hey, I need some mentoring from you, Teddy, because, you know, I do all of my social media on LinkedIn. So I think, you know, you feel free to reach out to me and say, hey, David, you might want to try this, or, you know, on this post, it was good, but you might want to, you know, try this. You know, I'm looking forward to being mentored by you, Teddy, on social media. Okay. I'm asking for it now. I see. Even your old dog can learn new tricks.
LinkedIn's a good place to be, David. So, you know,
I agree.
But whenever you're ready, I am here for you.
So. I'll gladly accept your mentoring.
Yay. You just created a new mentor mentee relationship. All right. Well, this podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already, and you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice.